I like them to see their parents with their hands raised up and just their voices lifted high, praising and worshiping God. And amen. It has an effect on them, doesn't it? Do you understand the effect that your worship to God has on your children and what you're teaching them? It's a wonderful and awesome lesson for them to learn how to turn to the Lord. Amen. Just write myself a few notes here because I don't want to forget anything. Praise God. Children, do you want to go downstairs? Yay! Wow, you've been waiting patiently. Yeah. Oh, what a good group. Marching like soldiers. Lord, bless the children today. Hallelujah. Wow, half the congregation went downstairs. Lord, bless the workers today. A couple of things that before we go too far, I do want to pray about. One of Karen's cousins had a fire. Her name is June, and they lost everything. They're in a hotel until Monday, and then after that, they're going to need a place to stay. I don't know what all the arrangements are. I need to get more information on that, but they need everything. They need clothes. They need furniture. They need a place to put it, even. Somebody made mention, well, you know, we have this and we have that as far as furniture and things, and she said, well, we don't even have a place to put it, so just hold on. And, you know, right now, maybe they just need money to pay for a few more nights in a hotel. I don't know, but we need to pray for June and her family and that God would just provide for them. Also, I want to pray today for Laura, who's in France, and her mom is perhaps in her last days, and Laura is there by her side. And to be in another country, well, it's not a foreign country to her, but in another country from where her husband is, it's very difficult, especially going through, you know, losing your mom as she is, unless God, you know, does a great miracle there. You know, it's got to be very difficult. And so we want to, you know, definitely lift her up in prayer. Also, there are others here that need prayer. You know, continue praying for Al and for Evie and different ones not feeling well. As we were worshiping, I'm looked over and I see Meredith with her boot, and I'm like, you know what, we got two people that are wandering around in here with boots on her left foot. I'm like, what is up with that, you know? And so just continued prayer for God's healing and strength. And so let's do that right now. Father, first we lift up to you June, who has lost everything. Lord, fire has just destroyed her home and her belongings and her memories and things that she had there. And God, I just pray that you restore it all. Lord, if she's missing pictures that were cherished, I pray that somebody else has a copy of it and gives it to her. Lord, whatever clothing that they lost, I just pray that you would replace it with even better. And God, I ask that you would just bless them with a home that goes beyond their imagination. Give her an assurance in her heart, Lord God, that you are with her and that you are watching over her and drawing her to yourself as you provide for her even her basic needs. God bless her and her family today in Jesus' name. And we also today, Lord, we lift up Laura to you. In this trying and difficult moment, perhaps the last days with her mom, barring that you would do a miracle, we're asking God perhaps that you would consider healing her mom and raising her up from that bed of affliction and doing a wonderful miracle that would spark a great revival in her family. But Lord, be with Laura. Be with Chris and the whole family, Lord God, as they go through these days. Help them to keep their spirits high and their trust in you. And Lord, that they would not be overcome with oppression because of the situation, but they would be overcome with just a loving sense of peace and comfort from your spirit. Bless them all today. And these others, Lord, here even in this congregation that are not feeling well and that are injured and hobbling, oh God, shore us up and give us strength, heal our bodies, and Lord God, create in us the strength through your Spirit that we need in order to carry this gospel out in our minds, in our bodies, and in our spirits in such a powerful way that Geneva would know that, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. Bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. I'm going to do a little recap from last week. Partly because half of you weren't here, and the other part is because the video only lasted about 3 minutes and then it cut off on us. And so, you know, if you're one of those that, well, I'll catch the message at home later, which I don't know if many of you are really aware yet, that the messages are now being posted on our website, which is GenevaAssemblyOfGod.com. And you put your mouse over the home button and you'll see messages. You click on there and the messages are there, all but last week's. And so I will just do a quick recap. But continuing in our series of what I've been calling the master key for Christian life, and these particular these five scriptures, you can read them there. I'm not going to go over them all just for sake of time. But we are up to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you, God, that your presence in this place right now has an influence in our lives and in our hearts. And I just pray that you will just do great works in us. Draw us closer to you. Speak to our hearts and change our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. Last week, we turned to Acts. My clicker's not clicking. If you can give me the next slide, brother. Acts chapter 1. Maybe I need a new battery. I don't know. What's that? Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, it goes one way. There it goes. Acts chapter 1. Please turn there. Let's take a quick look again. This is such a powerful and important portion of Scripture. I don't want to miss anything. And I'm not saying that I'm going to catch everything, but I'm saying I don't want to miss anything. Acts chapter 1, the former account I made to you, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the disciples whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Now, last week, I covered a couple of things. I talked about verse 2, which says, "Until the day in which he was taken up, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles." And I simply made the point that if Jesus needed to speak and do and move through the power of the Holy Spirit, how much more should we consider and desire the same thing? I mean, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, do you realize that he didn't do anything except through the Holy Spirit? Isn't that interesting? And so that was one of the points that I made. And in making that point, I said this as well: know what spirit you are influenced by. And there were several scriptures that we used to do that, but one of them is right there. You can see in Luke 9:55, he turned and rebuked them. The disciples had gone to Samaria, and they wanted to make a place ready for Jesus, but that particular village that they were in wouldn't receive him. By the way, I wanted to pray for that baby. This is the first day she's been here, right? Yeah, remind me her name. Evelyn. Oh, we have a couple of Evelyns today. Father, bless Evelyn today. First time in your church. Lord, bless her that each and every time she comes in this place, she would sense your presence in her life. Even in her infant stage, God, let her know your presence. Let her know your love. Bless her with health and good life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for bringing her. Oh, and bless the mom too, God. Yes. If you didn't hear him, what he said is the baby, Paul, if you're not aware, Brother Paul loves God so much that he travels a lot on Sunday. He may visit two or three different churches on a Sunday and throughout the week. If there's a church open, he's there. If he can possibly get there, he's there. And I encourage you, you know what? If we don't have a service, we have services on Sundays and Wednesdays. And sometimes on Friday nights and different special things. And you know what? If we don't have a service on Monday, but somebody else does, go. If we don't have a service on Tuesday and somebody else does, go. I'm not afraid of losing sheep to other churches. I want you to receive as much of God as you can get. And I realize, you know what? We probably don't have it all here. Just being honest. Somebody else might preach the same on the same portion of Scripture, and they have a different angle. The Spirit led them in a different direction, and you'll get even more out of that. And so I encourage you, if you can find a church service that's open any time of the week, go. Be blessed by God in all of the places where the body of Christ meets. Anyway, back to Samaria. This particular village didn't want to receive Jesus, and so the disciples were like, Jesus, should we call down fire on these guys? And you know, it's pretty interesting that sometimes that's what we do too. When people don't want to receive Jesus, we're ready to just like condemn them and just send them to hell right now. Well, that's true. But that's not, Jesus said, he turned and he rebuked them and he said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. You know, it's very important that we the church, we the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, understand and know what spirit we are being influenced by. It makes sure that we are walking in the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit as Jesus did. Another verse there, when Jesus had told the disciples what was going to take place, you know, in him. He was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to be crucified and died, and Peter said, not so, God, you know. And Peter rebukes Jesus, for Jesus is telling the truth, and Peter didn't want to believe it. How many know, a lot of us, a lot of times, we don't want to believe the truth. Because usually the truth hurts because it's our flesh. But a lot of times the truth hurts before it helps. And so what Jesus does, he turns to Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. So in other words, whose spirit was Peter being influenced by at that moment? Yeah. And so one of the points I was making last week was just very simply, know what spirit you are influenced by. And one of the ways that you can tell is if you feel, you know, compelled by the Spirit to do something or to say something or to go somewhere. One of the top way, I think, for you to really be sure that that's the Holy Spirit, make sure it lines up with God's Word. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to do anything that is outside of God's Word. And if you have a question, you know what? Go to God's Word and say, okay, yes, this is what is done in God's kingdom, and therefore, yes, this is the Holy Spirit that wants me to do this. Another point I made last week, and I'm going to try to go quickly through this. The promise of the Father, which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, is for all. Isaiah 59, 21 said, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit that is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever, forever. Now, there are a lot of, who in today's world, in today's churches, you know, different ones, that they have different ideas, and, you know, as I just encourage you to go to other churches, just, again, make sure they're preaching the Word of God, make sure that they're inspired of the Holy Spirit, the things that they tell you and the things that you receive. But there are many who believe that the Holy Spirit was just, you know, the baptism in the Holy Spirit was meant only for the day of Pentecost. You know, the some believe it was only for the 12 disciples. Others believe it was just for the first, you know, the early church, and not for today. Well, it says there, your seed, your seed's seed, from henceforth forever. That means every as seed keeps coming. What is seed? Seed is babies being born. Hallelujah. God's Spirit is for that child and is for you. So the baptism is for all of us. One last verse, Joel 2, chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my Spirit. He'll pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And so those were the main two points I wanted to make last week. Of course, there was a lot more involved there. Those of you who are here were blessed by it. Those who were miss it and wondering what it was, don't miss church. You might miss a little something. Amen. I want to look at today Acts chapter 1, verse 4 again. It's really interesting. There's so much in this portion of these eight verses in the book of Acts to talk about, and I'm just really excited about it. And I already know what I'm preaching next week. I already know, this is unusual for me. I usually don't know. And I already know the direction we're going the week after that, and it's just really been just a wonderful time for me preparing. But today, I want to look at this verse. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said He, you have heard of Me. Now remember last week when I pointed out what the word Jerusalem means. It means set double peace. I mean, it's kind of a weird phrase, but it means peace. And it's interesting if you really put it together how Jesus worded things and the names of the cities and just how it all comes into play. You should not depart from peace, but wait for the promise of the Father. How many of us get really antsy when things get going crazy and we just don't know? Matter of fact, we prayed this morning for June, and you know, I was just reminded as we were worshiping, and I kept seeing the door swing open, and I just kept seeing more people come in, and more people come in, and more people come in. I am blessed that each and every one of you have come here. And I appreciate that you took the time out of your day to come here today. Some of you I have not seen in a long time. Some of you, maybe this is the first service you've sat in. But I appreciate that you felt the call of the Holy Spirit in your being and compelled you to come, and you responded and you're here. I trust that God has something precious and powerful for you. And so just keep your heart open for whatever it is God wants to do in you today. Okay? Don't worry about anything worldly. Don't worry about anything else other than the idea that Jesus called you here and you responded and He wants to bless you. Okay? And so receive from Him. As I mentioned earlier, my wife's cousin June, who lost everything, I got to believe right now she's in a sense of just, oh, what am I going to do? Any of us would be. Jesus says, just wait in peace. Wait in peace until the Holy Spirit leads you, until the Holy Spirit comes. Till the promise of the Father. I want to explore the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 2, I meant to put on here. Verse 33 says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth, which means poured out this, which you now see and hear. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Peter is preaching a message, and he's explaining to the crowd that the promise of the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, is what they were witnessing. We all know that on the day of Pentecost, we can read it in the beginning of chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell on the church, on the upper room, you know, the believers that were gathered there, that something powerful took place. Tongues of fire landed on their heads. They were all speaking in new languages, which is the words used in the Bible, spoken tongues. And Peter's pointing out that was the promise of the Father, when the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the church. And so that's what I want to first establish, is that the promise of the Father... Where's my verses? Oh, I'm way ahead of myself. There's the verse. Receive the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit poured out on the followers of Christ. That's what the promise of the Father is. And there are several verses that support that, and we're going to look at some of them today. Turn to John chapter 16. And we're going to start reading in verse 7. Now, before I begin, I really want to encourage you. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, as it pertains to the promise of the Father, or the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit being poured out on those who are following Christ, if you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, just keep your heart open for whatever God wants to do in you. Listen to His Word, read His Word, and seek whatever it is that God wants for you. You know, just be open. Say, God, whatever it is that you have for me, this pastor's talking about things I'm not so sure about, but whatever you have for me, God, I want the fullness of it. And so just be open to whatever it is the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you. How many of us want the promises that God declared? Amen? How many of us want and desire a Holy Spirit to be poured out on us? Right? Because the Spirit that we generally walk in is probably not holy. And so we need this promise that Jesus talked about. Now, John chapter 16, I'm going to read starting in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Now, I want to look at these verses real quick. Wow, it's really quiet in here today. Is it because you're on the edge of your seat, just waiting to hear the next thing? Or is it because the Holy Spirit is just doing something deep? I hope it's because the Spirit of God is doing something deep. And your desire for more of Him is just growing as we go through this particular series, which I've been calling the Master Key for Christian Life. The first thing I want to talk about is verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. The word expedient means profitable. The New King James said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Now, it is profitable for us, for Jesus to go to the Father and to send the Holy Spirit. Why would it be profitable for us? Why would it be to our advantage? For Jesus, who was, you know, right there in front of them, they could touch him, they could talk to him, they could dine with him, they could, you know, fellowship with him. Why would it be profitable for him to go to heaven and then send the Holy Spirit? Because the Spirit will always be there. But think about this for a moment as well. Jesus was one person in the flesh. He could only be at one place at one time when he was here on the earth in the flesh. But when he went to be with the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit and he poured out his Spirit on all flesh, now he can be everywhere in the world in the flesh through you. What's more profitable for the kingdom of God? For Jesus to be in one place or for Jesus to be in all places? All places. It was for our benefit, because now, you know, remember when he appeared after he had rose from the dead? Remember when he went to the disciples and Thomas wasn't there? All the other disciples were there, and they told Thomas when he showed up, and Thomas wouldn't believe it until he saw for himself. Well, when Jesus rose, now the Holy Spirit is where Thomas is and where you are and where all the other disciples are. That's why when we were worshiping this morning, it just came to my mind to pray for these, you know, loved ones that are astray. Because, yeah, they may not be here in this church at this moment experiencing God's presence in this place, but guess what? God's Spirit can go right where they are. It doesn't matter where they are. His Spirit will go there and minister to them. It is very profitable that that God sent his promised Holy Spirit to us. Isn't it wonderful? It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, if you will stop and turn your heart to God, he's right there. And so it's profitable. It's profitable for you and I that the Holy Spirit is sent. You know, our brother Chris up here, and I don't mean to pick on your brother, but you're sitting right in the front, so you're a good target. Our brother Chris up here, his wife is halfway around the world. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is in both places. And one of the things I like about love is you don't always, you know, I did a funeral the other day. And one of the things I always like to encourage people in a funeral is, you know what? Love never stops. And when your loved one goes to heaven, you can still have relationship with them through the Spirit of God. Just keep loving them. Because God's Spirit is here and God's Spirit is there. You're connected through the promise of the Father. What an advantage. What a blessing. Next thing, verse 8. When he has come, he will reprove, which means convict, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9 says, of sin because they believe not in me. The Holy Spirit is come to help us know what is right and wrong. He has come to convict us of sin. Is there anybody that has ever not experienced a moment when you were involved in something and you just felt like, oh my gosh, this is not good. This is not right. This is wrong. Where does that come from? Comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't it wonderful that he sent his Spirit to guide us and to lead us, to help us to know what's right and what's wrong and what's sin in our life in order that we can repent of it and be set free from it? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us. Now it says he will reprove or convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, because they don't believe in me. Again, why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Because the Spirit drew you to him. Because the Spirit of God revealed to you that you were a sinner, that in need of a Savior. To convict, in verse 10, the world of righteousness, because I go to my Father and I see you no more. Now, it's an interesting little phrase. I go to my Father and you see me no more. When Jesus was on the earth, he was the example of righteousness. Remember, he would walk around and do things, and the Pharisees were like, whoa, you know, that's you're sinning. And Jesus was like, you don't even know what righteousness is. In Matthew 5, he said, for I say to you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, they thought they knew what righteousness was, but they didn't have a clue. And when Jesus was here, he pointed out to them that which was righteous, and now we have the Holy Spirit to come and help us understand what true righteousness is. How do we have any clue what righteousness is? It's only because of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the only thing. Remember the Pharisees, they got all upset. Wow, that Jesus, he can't be righteous. You know, and I'm putting words in their mouth, but because he went and hung out with sinners. Well, it was the righteous thing for Jesus to do, to go and hang out with those sinners. And it's a righteous thing for you and I to do too, to go and hang out with them and love them. Love them. Tell them about Jesus. Now, you need to be careful. I'm just going to throw a little disclaimer in there. If you're going to hang out with sinners, you need to be careful what spirit you are while you're with them, because they will draw you into that sin many times a lot quicker than you'll draw them out of it. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If I don't want to send anybody anywhere where there are sinners, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, that is going to keep you from falling to the sin. If you're not strong enough in God to stay pure, don't go there. Okay? But when you get filled with God's Spirit, and he convicts you of the sin, he convicts you, okay, this is right and that is wrong, and you understand what righteousness is, then yeah, go and win them. Go and save them. Verse 11, convict of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit has come to remind us that judgment is at the door, and for those who do not put their trust in Jesus for salvation, judgment is at the door for all who refuse Jesus Christ. It's good that the Spirit of God has been sent in order to convict us of the idea of judgment. Because if we didn't have any understanding that, you know what, there's judgment, and at the end of all this, we would have an I don't care attitude. We could do whatever we want. But it's the Spirit of God, and it's very profitable for us that we have conviction of sin, that we have conviction of righteousness, and we have conviction of judgment. John 16, 12 to 13, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit has come to give us more truth, more understanding, and more revelation of the deeper things in God of which we can't attain without him. You know, when I first got saved, I had a lot of questions. I didn't have a whole lot of understanding. All I knew is that people said that if I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, he will. And I just said, okay, I'll believe that. But I didn't really have, you know, full understanding of it. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, he gives you greater revelation. It's interesting that Jesus walked with his disciples for, you know, for 3 years, teaching them and showing them and being an example for them. And it comes to the end, and he says, you know what, there's a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. And think about that for a moment in your life. Perhaps, there are greater things available for you, but you can't handle it right now. Sometimes we try to get ahead of God, and we want to, who doesn't? Who here doesn't want to know the deeper things, the deepest things in God? Who doesn't want to know that? Well, you know what? Just be patient. Try to understand what you know right now. And allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into those deeper things. He will give you more understanding. He will give you, I love what it says, that he will guide you into all truth. Thank you, Jesus. because I don't know the truth outside of him. And so I need that promise of the Father in my life. I need that outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life in order that I can understand truth. And now, when I read the Bible, it's the influence of the Holy Spirit that helps bring the truth out of it for me. And I trust that it's very same for you. And then, lastly, verse 14 through 15, he shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. The Holy Spirit has come to reveal Jesus to us and to empower us to share Christ with others. That's what he's come for. It's really interesting. It's really interesting that Jesus needed to move and speak through the power of the Holy Spirit, but here he's saying that it's the Holy Spirit's job to glorify me. You see, it goes both ways. And when you know when somebody's walking under the power of the Holy Spirit, when they're glorifying Jesus Christ, when they're lifting up Jesus Christ. How do you know that you've been given the promise of the Father? Are you compelled at all to tell somebody else about Jesus? Because if you are, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. And that's what he has come to do. I'm just going to share one last verse with you. John 14, 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom my Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I had said to you. Before we even, here I'm trying to preach on the fourth verse in my master key, and I haven't even got to the verse yet because there's so much involved in what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And that's why today I just wanted to explore a little bit what the Holy Spirit is sent to do. He will teach you all things. Who's going to teach you all things? The Holy Spirit. Why do you need the Holy Spirit in your life? To learn all things. Anybody want to learn all things? I do. It's only through him. And so then just to go back, the Spirit has come to reveal Jesus to us and empower us to share him with others. The Spirit has come to give us more truth and understanding and more revelation of the deeper things of God in which we can't attain without him. You know, I love it when people who aren't following Christ there are a lot of people. You ever run into somebody who's not following Christ that knows the word? They can quote scripture left and right, right? But because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them, there's no depth. There's no understanding. You know, you try to share with them the truth of God, which is revealed by the Holy Spirit, and they're like, nah, that ain't it. It's something else. Okay. It's the Spirit we need in us. The Spirit has come to remind us that judgment is at the door for those who do not put their trust in Jesus for salvation. He's come to help us understand what true righteousness is. He's come to help us know what is right and wrong, what sin is. And it's very profitable for you and I when the promise of the Father is poured into our lives. Isn't that wonderful? Stand with me this morning. Now, you know what? You might be thinking, oh my gosh, well, I can't wait to get to that power verse. When are we going to receive power, Pastor? Well, we're on our way. We're on our way. But I want us to have a basic understanding of who he is, what the promise of the Father is, what his job is, the intent that God has for him in our lives. And hopefully encourage you and inspire you to just want more, to learn more, to have more of his Spirit working in your life. And so that's what these last couple messages have been, is just to perhaps create a little bit of a foundation. Next week we're going to look at the word baptism a little deeper, because we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I've learned some things as of late that's been very interesting. I can't wait to share them with you, but you're going to have to come back next week to hear it. Amen. Let me find a song here. I'll just do it by memory, hopefully. Lord, I thank you for your word that just teaches us, tells us. Lord, you told the disciples long before what was going to take place. And then when the Spirit came, God, you secured him in their hearts, gave them understanding of what it is, what the promise for them was. And they responded by walking and living and speaking through the power of that Holy Spirit, creating the early church, writing down, oh God, gospels and letters to churches, Lord, to instruct us and help us to understand. So Holy Spirit, right now I pray for each and every person in this place that you'll fill us, each and every one. Leave no one out, oh God, we come here for more of you. As we continue through the next few weeks of just coming here and learning, seeking you, I just pray that you will baptize every single one of us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that our lives would forever be changed, and we will glorify your name. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Sing that again. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. We're going to be back here tonight at 6 o'clock. I trust, pray that you all come back and join us. But don't leave this place without just inviting him into your heart. If you wish, I'll play for a few minutes. You can come up and pray and just ask the Spirit of God to come inside like a flood and just rush over your soul, give you peace and love, understanding, and truth. But let it be your prayer that for more of God in your lives. Hallelujah. Don't leave without asking somebody if you can tell them about Jesus today. Be blessed and encouraged as we walk with the Lord. Because there's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. My guitar's not cooperating. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes clean, my shame undone.